President Bush's budget blueprint was short on specifics, especially about programs the White House wants to cut. So business executives were dismayed when one of the programs singled out was the Export-Import Bank, EXIM for short. EXIM Bank provides loans and loan guarantees to foreign customers who need financing to buy American products. Some regard this as corporate welfare, but some of the country's biggest exporters say it's a government program they can't do without. NPR's Kathleen Schalk reports.
To help make room for President Bush's proposed tax cuts, the White House wants to slash EXIM's budget by 25%. Ian Vasquez, who directs the Cato Institute's project on global economic liberty, says it's about time.
I think it's a good start. Most Americans recognize that giving taxpayer subsidies to the richest corporations in the world is not a good idea, that it's wrong, and the president is clearly picking up on that theme. Whether he's going to be able to push it through Congress and then use that as a starting point to eliminate the vast array of corporate welfare that exists in Washington is another story.
Indeed, even the plan to shrink the EXIM Bank faces a juggernaut of opposition from people who are used to being listened to.
We're the nation's largest exporter, so this is our business.
Chris Hansen is vice president for governmental relations for the Boeing Company, the Seattle-based aerospace giant.
The stakes are quite large. A lot of times people want to buy our products, but they can't because they can't get competitive loans to be able to buy them, and that's exactly what EXIM Bank does.
Boeing got $3.3 billion in financing from the EXIM Bank last year, more than a quarter of the money Congress set aside. But Hansen says EXIM's true cost is much smaller than it appears. That's because almost all EXIM loans get paid back.
So what happens is the money which is not spent, which is most of the money, just goes back into the Treasury each year. If you have a situation where you are basically appropriating money that's never actually spent and creating jobs and exports all at the same time, I think that's a pretty good investment.
Still, critics ask, why should the U.S. government spend any money financing exports at all? Why not rely on commercial banks? Robert Weissman is co-director of Essential Action, a group critical of corporate subsidies.
There's really good reason to believe that the private capital markets that are able to move money all around the world very quickly would step in and support projects that are commercially viable.
If projects aren't commercially viable or borrowers aren't creditworthy, Weissman says, why should taxpayers assume the risk? Corporate lobbyists argue that the risk is low, precisely because the U.S. government is involved. Edmund Rice is president of the Coalition for Employment Through Exports, a group made up of 31 large U.S. exporters and banks.
The loss rate is below 2% historically from EXIM. That's much lower than the comparable commercial loss rate. Even though these are export transactions in emerging markets, borrowers and their governments are loath to stiff the U.S. government on a particular transaction.
Commercial banks face a more iffy situation, says Rice, and a greater risk they won't be repaid. But exporters say the biggest reason for keeping the EXIM Bank fully funded is competition. Europe and Japan have generous export financing programs, according to Bill Lane, Washington Director for Government Affairs at Caterpillar.
For some markets, whether it's Bangladesh or Croatia or throughout Africa, the only lenders are government-supported banks, and the EXIM Bank is just absolutely critical for our ability to compete against European and Japanese producers.
Without EXIM, he says, the sale would simply go to someone else. Caterpillar is the world's largest producer of construction equipment and diesel and gas turbine engines. Half of its sales are outside the U.S., and half of these are in developing countries. So Bill Lane argues many of the 60,000 jobs at Caterpillar depend on EXIM financing.
But here, too, for every job that we directly support in Illinois or in Indiana, we support two or three jobs at our supplier base. You know, in fact, there's a large number of people that are supported, their jobs are supported by exports, and they don't even know it, because what happens is they sell to a Caterpillar, but half of what they sell ultimately ends up overseas.
If their supporters didn't understand their need for the Ex-Im Bank before, they may soon. Caterpillar, Boeing, and other big exporters are in the midst of contacting approximately 50,000 firms that benefit indirectly from the bank's loans and loan guarantees, trying to gin up support for the Ex-Im Bank in Congress. One of the companies spearheading the campaign is Halliburton, formerly headed by Vice President Dick Cheney. It exports oil exploration equipment and services. Lobbyists have dusted off a speech Mr. Cheney gave in 1997 praising the bank and scoffing at its detractors. Some of Ex-Im's champions are big campaign contributors. Boeing and its employees donated just under $1.8 million during the last election cycle, according to the Center for Responsive Politics. And Caterpillar's employees wrote checks for more than a half a million, 96% of it going to Republicans. Ex-Im Bank has survived other attempts at paring back corporate welfare, according to Willard Workman, Vice President for International Affairs at the U.S. Chamber of Commerce. Workman recalls that President Reagan proposed cutting the Ex-Im Bank in his first term.
Ultimately, the Congress rejected that. At a time when they accepted all his other cuts, they doubled the budget for Ex-Im Bank.
Lobbyists currently working on behalf of Ex-Im say they're making headway. 30 senators have already written to President Bush asking him to reconsider. Kathleen Schalk, NPR News, Washington.